say, man, technology get along like bees and carrots. Not really. I had always discovered new things on my Chromebook when I'm working on these Sunday school lessons at home, and I get put forward to thinking I'm going to try them out here, and then get my phone first if I get here and it doesn't work. So, using this thing this morning. So, we're going to continue on this love lesson series. I've been on for a while now. It's part 14. I was talking last time about your love story, and that's what I'm continuing on this time because I have a few things to say about that. But before I get into that, I hope it's okay, Brother Bob, if I mention this. Brother Anderson introduced me to a new website the other day that Brother Bob made, and it's based on artificial intelligence, I guess, because it's using AI. And it's called Eagle Vision. I was going to pull it up here and demonstrate for y'all. Actually, I was going to do it in my Chromebook, but because I'm using this, it's not going to work very good for me. So, just suffice it to say, you can get a website link from Brother Bob, from me, Brother Anderson, any of these brothers that have these. What this is a really useful tool for studying. Y'all know how if you use the message app, you know, table app, or the folio views, if you're going to find something, Brother Branham, you got to get the wording exact. You can't just stop it. I think he said it like this. You're going to spend a long time searching. Now, this thing here, you type in roughly what he said, it will find it. And it will find every instance of it and like all the different approaches to it. And give you lots of other suggested studies and all kinds of things. It's such a powerful tool for ministers, Sunday school teachers, and even for laity. I highly recommend using this. Okay, it's called Eagle Vision. I don't know if anybody knows about it yet. He was probably going to get into it later, so I'll leave that for him to maybe give us a demonstration sometime on using it. But man, it's a powerful tool. It's so handy. I've been using it playing with it like a kid with a new toy. And anyway, so let's pray before we start on this lesson for today. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for asking to be here on today. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for our visitors here, Lord. Bless our brother David Minister for us this morning, by the way, this afternoon. Bless all the Sunday school classes, the students and teachers. Give us understanding of your word. And let this lesson here be helpful for the people here this morning. And just help them in their walk with you. And be with all those who are away traveling, ministry, and other things. Lord, be with them. Help all the sick and afflicted, I pray. So, you know, this is why I emphasize meditation on your whole life journey. I put a lot of emphasis on meditation and the power of thinking about your life. This, I get this one example in Psalm 143. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. So God does things in your life for a reason. It's not just, well, it's done. I'm going to go on to the next thing. No, go back and meditate on things he's already done. And keep thinking about those things. And there's so much power in helping you realize that God's been with you the whole time. And some of these are slides I had from my last lesson. I'm going to review some of these. And then have a lot of new ones here. So all on the same subject. Throughout the Bible, God worked through the lives of Bible characters. They lived their normal daily lives, not realizing God was ordering their footsteps, writing the story of their lives as they lived them, making them living examples to reveal part of his character. And he revealed it, you know, maybe for their benefit, but also for ours, because they're for our examples. Examples of all sins, you know. He still does the same thing today in our lives. That's our love story. When I say love story, I'm talking about how our Lord, our bridegroom, and we the bride, how he wooed to us, he called us, he brought us to himself. In our lives, he can push us through a pipe and make things happen. Like, in order to push us into a situation, he gives us free will agency. And that's a vital part of love to work. You know, I fell in love with my wife when I first met her. It's an affection for her, but that had to grow to something greater. A choice of love to keep loving her more and more, and that's made it work. So now, yeah, I have the affection part, but it's a lot stronger than what it was when we started, almost 18 years ago. So, as I gave the last time the story of mine and my wife's first meeting, just as an example, showing you how God does things in your life to replicate stories and things similar. And this one is not even in the Bible. It's the story of the honor meatpacking. But like Brother Brandon mentioned, meeting that girl, the ranch bride, if you will, and how our story is so much symbolized. It was so similar to theirs every step of the way, except that it was during the first met. That's what the difference. That would be crazy. I didn't meet her and didn't say, "Would you marry me?" But anyway, 13 miles to be exact, after the first met in the same town, just like they did. So that's one of the many examples that's found in last time. This love story applies to each of us. Christ came to look for you, his bride, through time, and he found women flirting with worldly wisdom, carnal things. On the backside, he found those who were willing to take on his mind and character, not swayed by the wisdom of mankind. After the first meeting and proposal, the branch bride in that story started making herself ready. Her blessed night, he must be glad and rejoice to come on to him. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife made herself ready. Once they accepted his proposal, they could be diligently making herself ready. Right. And the benefit, what's it looks like. So Joel 2, this is scripture came across one day that has a lot to do with this. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride closet. And closet there literally means what we refer to as closet. It's defined as a dressing room. So the bride has made herself ready. That is, dressed in her day. And one of the thoughts that I have, think toward you, sex, one of the thoughts of peace and not being able to give any respect at the end of the turn on 2011. So this is our love story. It's all about redemption. Written by the same author as those in the Bible, often replicates. Very, very closely does so. I gave the examples last time. I'll go into so much detail. This is altered in the history of faith. So, last time, some examples were like the Memphis woman that from the Reynolds plane was drowned and he went to, or led to the certain woman, and it might have been a repeat of the Clash of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4. And then also from the Band of Life stories, so much are similar to Bible stories. Mark 4, trials, I said last time that a lot of you, I think most everybody here at some point has experienced the Mark 4 trial where Jesus is asleep. You think he's not there, and you go and wake him and say, don't you care that this is happening, don't you care that my life's in trouble, and you go and wake up. You'll rebuke you for your unbelief, and you have little faith, and you don't calm the winds and the waves. Everybody here at some point has faced a Goliath. I'm sure if you're very far in your Christian journey, you face the Goliath, sickness, or whatever, lust, or anything that you face. It seems bigger than you, and you can't overcome it. By the grace of God, you press through and you overcome. And then Elijah and the widow of Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. So the way to see these love stories in your life is read the Bible, pray every day, meditate on your journey, and look for God in your daily life. But you have to read the Bible. If you're not really familiar with the Bible and the stories and the characters and what God did in their life, you won't recognize it happening in their life. You become oblivious to what happened. It's so subtle to you, and say, or so simplicity, they don't go without you noticing. Most of these things that I've seen in my life, I didn't realize until years later. So I thought when I came to message all those 5 years, I came to Mark Thornton in the Baptist Church, 5 or so. I was 12 in Mark Thornton. Then your message until I was 17. And all those years in the Baptist, the thought was a waste. Not so. But it was several years into the message before I realized that was part of my journey. And he predestined of God. He ordered my footsteps, and he was so faithful. And every time I needed the next stage, it was just right there. He brought it to me just about the time. He's never late, always on time. He knows exactly what we need and when we need it. We just trust him to keep going with what we know. So you must read the Gospels to recognize the ministry of the Son of Man to see him appear. By the way, they always used to do the same to emphasize reading the Gospels. Because we don't see the ministry of the Son of Man in us today if we don't recognize the ministry of the Son of Man and study what he did in his day. Okay, Jesus doing the things that he did. We recognize that if we're not familiar with those, with the Gospels. I always like to quote Philippians 4:8 and name these list of things that Paul lists out here that are exactly the different stages of your journey from start to finish. First thing you come to is truth and honesty. You might hear part of the truth for a long time before it began to prick your heart, but at some point you recognize that your life doesn't line up with it. So that James chapter, that book of James, and you're holding up the Bible and you're reading it, and my life doesn't match that. And then, like Christian, in the Builder's Progress, all of a sudden you've got this burden of sin on your back, this conviction, and you can't get rid of it, so you have to come to justification, you have to come to sanctification. So identify all these things in your life, when and where they happen, and meditate on that much, because that's God in you, and this love story, when you call it to himself, but you won't recognize it if you're not thinking about the things that happen. And you know where you're at, you're not really thinking about how much these things have happened. And it might be over the course of 30 years. Maybe this didn't all happen in a short time. So my brother Wade always says this is called pot Christianity, slow cooker, not microwave religion. So the spirit of adoption in you at the beginning, and it's subtlety and its simplicity, will bring you all the way to the end. Like when your father comes preaching to you, come out with my father, they will know who our father is. Now, this is one I had on my slide last time. I got so nervous when the slide got out of order and never got to mention this. So, there are just layers of predestination on this play in this picture. So, I might set up shop here for a few minutes. I hope I don't leave something off here. I've got a lot of notes for stuff on this, and I've been going on it a lot. Y'all might remember that a while back I told you that Arnie and Sharon, before they found Gabby, sister Jackie to adopt them. They went to this picnic and they took a picture of a boy they wanted to adopt. And this, when they took a picture of the boy, and they got home and developed it, and they were going to show it to their mother, adopt the kids, and pray over it, and say, "What does this do well for our family?" Because they're kind of swamped picture of it. They got home and they developed it, and it wasn't the boy, it was Jackie and Gabby. Now, here's that picture. I had heard the story for almost 18 years. We just found this like last month in a box of pictures at my in-law's house. And we just found things and we just found pictures and we just found this and Gabby showed me this and this that big man. She said, "That's the other." You know, Cameron was so funny. In both men's meetings, people would take a picture and there was a woman being prayed for with that dark shadow. And then after she prayed for it, the picture was taken, the shadow was gone. You know, the pillar of fire that George Lewis said light actually struck the lens. Cameron would take psychology. Another instance of that, the boy is not in the frame, but he's off to the left. In fact, they were taking a picture of him, and then Gabby and Jackie got in the frame. They were not one more girls. They had enough girls. They had either already adopted or working on adopting about 6 girls and 1 boy. Poor little fellow needs somebody to play with, you know? They had an estrogen overload. I mean, they needed some more boys in the story, so they went to get a boy, and they got there and took a picture, and it wound up being these girls, and they adopted these girls. Jesse, that was her given name, and Jackie, her sister. Jesse's now Gabby, she's downstairs in Sunday school. So, there's layers of predestination in this. I get to all of it in our time allotted, but my favorite part is that God orders events to bring us to that seed. Somebody might look at this picture, a lot of folks in the message say, "Well, you see there, there's a little seed in Jesse's heart, but not in Jackie's." That's what it was, and she had her little seed there. I'll go with you to the fact that there was a seed somewhere, okay? But you ask Gabby, now share that now. She'll tell you she did not come to a little seed. She knew she was the seed. She was the center when this picture was taken. So was Jackie. They did not come to the Lord. They didn't know the message. They didn't know the Lord. They believed in God. That was it. They'd been in out of a lot of churches in foster care. They were orphaned. They were foster kids. They had this picnic waiting to be adopted. Hoping somebody would come and adopt them. They'd been to these picnics before nobody adopted them. Out of foster care for so many years. And from age 10, here's Gabby now 16, about 17, still waiting for somebody to adopt her. And I don't think things out, but anyway, she basically, she was at this point, she was waiting until she aged out of the system because once you get to a certain age, about 18 or so, social services will pay for you to go through college. If you go through college, but otherwise, you're on your own. If you don't have a family, then you're on your own. So hopefully you get family before that age. Well, it didn't look very promising. She didn't pray, though. She believed in God. She prayed and said, "God, could you please just give me a family? I just want a family." That's all she was asking for. You know? And God, so faithful as he was, brought her family and multiple families. He brought her to a message family. And he brought her to the Bride of Christ. And now she's got family all around the world in the Bride of Christ. A couple years later, I married her. Away from Kentucky. So you got our family. See you. course, that does not love Son hearing him, of course, did not say that he has become my Son. He was the Son. But God's positioned him as that Son before the Father. Jesus made all this way as an example for us to follow. He set the example. Hear the word. Obey it. Follow it. But he'll even present it to somebody who won't even accept it. He's so gracious and good to do that. To give it a chance to people who he knows won't even accept it. But God will do all the rest. You really just come to him. That spirit of adoption is coming to your birth and keep following. Two reasons for love lessons is why I'm talking about all this love lessons now, 14 lessons. Two main things to help us fall in love with the Lord and walk close to Him. And also to enrich your marriages by emphasizing real love and selflessness. That's a big key in marriage. Selflessness from the Bible and certain examples. Meditate on your journey. It helps you this. Realize God's been there. Brother Dale, often make this example. He'd say, you know, I'm leaving him on top of him. He's talking about something, okay, but whatever he said, somebody would just say, leave a man, leave him for work in the morning. Mad at his wife, he had a spout there. He'd go to work all day, think, first of all, when I come home, I'm going to straighten her out. Then he'd get home and she'd hug him and say, I've been praying for you all day. Boom, burst at that bubble. Oh my goodness, I'm about to let you go. All right. And it's a quick way to cause the soft cancer comes away bad. Depending on your choice to meditate on the good or the bad about your spouse, you can think about the area, you spend time thinking about the bad. Just stay in that good, in that mode of meditation, thinking all the good things. You can find something. I'm sure. Marriage in certain classes about selflessness. And then there's no grounds for arguing. When my mother-in-law passed away in 2018, I think it was, my father told me one thing that stood out. He said, Ryan, me and Sharon never. Trying to do things for herself, but always looking for opportunity to spoil each other. You know, he'd go behind her back, get her new phone, she'd go behind his back, get her fishing pole, if he wanted to. They was always trying to spoil each other, just like a little, teenagers. They've been together something like 40 years, I think, when she passed away. Gabby can attest to the fact that a couple years that she lived in their home after they adopted her, she never saw him fight, never saw him fuss. It was just a constant love and sweethearts, just all that worked. Real selfless examples, and there are so many of those. Sister Branham, when she passed away, everything she thought of on her deathbed was everything but herself. She said, Bill, when you get home after I pass, there's some nickels I've been saving. I want you to buy them. All that time she spent saving her little bitty allowance for him, all for him. Everything she did was for him. And take care of Billy, don't stay single. Everything she thought about was for her husband and her son, not for herself at all. Brother Manuel talked about, it's not about dying to yourself, to Christianity. So much of Christianity is dying to your own will and following Christ. It's the same thing in marriage. Die to your own will. Say, like, how far people work, say, you gotta give a little to get a little. I'm like, well, give a little, let's put yourself in there. Let's take the self out and say, well, just give all we got to God. Give all we got to your spouse. Not think about yourself. And then where's the grounds for those arguments? Because whenever the argument comes up, something selfish, something you're thinking about yourself and not your spouse. And then the example of the rich and poor couples, perfect example, Brother Benham married these two couples, one rich, one poor. One had a rich marriage, a rich wedding, and a poor marriage. The other had a poor wedding and a rich marriage. And so over here, the poor wedding with the rich marriage, meaning like they were selfless. He caught them, he eavesdropped on them, he found her in his life, saying, oh, you just do this for yourself. And he's like, no, honey, I'm going to get you that rest. I'm not fighting over each other, no, selfish things are fighting. What can I do to help you? And over here, these two are bickering. Everything else about some dance, some jealousy, and all that. You know, perfect example is right at the wrong type of marriage. He said, Bill, which one would you take? Talk to yourself. Well, I'd have that one down here in the box car, the humble little poor couple. So, I'm out here with a real love. So, marriage amongst the message of believers should be the richest, most successful marriages we should have. We have so many tools at our disposal. I've got a packet of quotes, about 100 quotes, 100 pages of quotes of Brother Branham and Son put together, all about marriage, courtship, dating, and so forth. And you've been doing the grocery that for several years because I'm grooming them for marriage. I want them to know what to look for, what to be, how to be as a good wife, and what to look for a good husband. It's 100 pages constantly. We've been reading it. We've had it too for years, every day, that same pattern. We just keep reading it over and over. Helping us in our marriage, but also it helps very large person, and I'm grasping, and I can't think of how good it works. So I brought him above the head and worked on it. And I think, I still don't know. I can't tell her how much I love her. And what about Christ? Or love better. He's trying so hard. If we just open it, and like what Ram said, crawl on his lap, open the word, and fall in love. So much of it. We're missing it, but just don't breathe love better. Open it. Examples of creating a changed atmosphere, you know, Brother Bama talked about putting on a paper. And when his wife was all in turmoil, his family all in turmoil, kids fussing and screaming, people coming to be prayed for, it's just a mess. They come in there, and they went and said, now bless God, you get in the kitchen and cook, you kids, shut up. No, we can get in there and just quietly not play some soft music, put on apron, help his wife, get the dishes, tell a joke, light the food, and it works every time. I do those things. I come home and say, play some Christian instrument music. Over to Gabby, help her whatever she's doing. Before I know it, everything's just calm. Peace be still. Just calm. So there's so many tools we can do that with. Love covers all sorts of sins. And all of this, the overlying theme here is love. Love above all else. Adoption number four, just as I said, it's going almost there. A whole make a disgrace. A lot of people say, now you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. Give me something for me, I'll do something for you. That's not grace. Grace is, if your back is this, I'll scratch it. Whether you scratch mine or not, you can slap me on the face and say, my back is itching, or you scratch it, I'll scratch it. So, like some people say, like 7 years ago, you have to give a little gift. No, just scratch or scratch, you need to scratch it. You know, just give us credit. Give love where it's worth needed, don't expect anything in return. I think there's a scripture for that around here somewhere. About giving and not expecting in return. I'm at my time now, so